I am so confident in this statement that there are going to be no qualifiers, Greg. In an age of having to qualify everything, this is the time of year that Penn State wrestling is all about. The NCAA tournament coming up this week, if, depending on when you're listening or watching this, it might be here right now. But it doesn't matter as much about the regular season, the postseason tournament for the Big Ten. Penn State wrestling, they want to win a national championship. Everything they do is geared for this. So Greg Pickle is here with me on the Penn State Wrestling Show, here from Blue White Illustrated, to talk about that, the pursuit of another national championship. Greg, welcome to the show. Paint us the details in the picture that we just made for everybody. How is all of this shaping up to you?
Yeah, so T. Frank, as we sit here, and listeners and the viewers, if you're depending on when you're watching this, we could be at tournament time, maybe a little bit into tournament time, maybe a day or so before tournament time. So keep all that reference in mind when you're getting a chance to listen to the show. But Nationals are here, and you hit the nail on the head, T. Frank. If you've been following along here on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast audio, if you've been reading along with us at BlueWhiteIllustrated.com, Cale Sanderson, the legendary head coach of the Nittany Lions, has been very clear that Penn State is, and it's been this way for a long time, focused on having its wrestlers being their best selves and their most ready selves at an NCAA tournament. So Nationals are here, and maybe some guys wrestled through illness throughout the winter portion of the schedule, and maybe they had some bumps and bruises that didn't allow them to wrestle up to the level that maybe fans thought they should. But the time to do so is now, and the goal and the focus is always on making sure that that is the case for now. So Nationals are here. Penn State is sending 10 wrestlers to the NCAA tournament. You can only send a maximum of 10, and they are doing that for the first time in a decade. So this is a strong contingent going to Kansas City, Missouri. The wrestling starts Thursday at noon Eastern time. It runs through Saturday night's finals. And Penn State is hoping to go record chasing. I don't know how else to put it. They would like to break the team scoring title. They would like to have the first team. They would like to become the first team to have 6 national champions, which obviously is unprecedented. They're one of 2 that has 5 in a single year at this point. So, there's a lot of potential history on the line for this team and a lot of work to do. Some draws were good. Some draws were not in terms of where Penn State wrestlers start or could continue their tournament in the championship bracket, which we'll get to in a bit. But by and large, there's nothing that has changed in terms of Penn State being a prohibitive favorite. DraftKings supposedly opened them up as a -300 favorite. They're a 1-in-3 chance to win the NCAA championship. It's now up to -1200. So it should be about -4000. So, it might get there by the time the action starts. But yeah, ultimately, Keith Frank, things are rolling right along. We'll see. Obviously, the first real test of that is going to be Penn State getting all of its guys through the first rounds of the NCAA championships. And it's also going to include seeing exactly where multi-time NCAA champion Carter Starace is at.
Yeah, do you want to start there? Do you want to go weight by weight and then get to Starace when we get to him? How do you want to handle that part? Because that's obviously the biggest part about this, outside of some of the close bouts, but having one of your aces healthy and ready to go, or do you want to wait and get there?
Yeah, so I'll just give a brief update of his status, then we can get more into it when we get to the review of the 174-pound weight class. But Carter Starace saying recently that, he was not initially, as you all know, if you've been reading or following along or listening along, he was not on board with the decision to forfeit for medical reasons twice at the Big Ten tournament. He was not on board with that. He wanted to wrestle. He was ready to wrestle. He has since accepted that decision. He is adamant that he could have wrestled if given the opportunity to do so. Cale Sanderson and his staff, with all of their obviously enormous amounts of experience, said, hey, look, it's not worth it. And that's, you see Carter Starace say that a Big Ten title is cool, but an NCAA title is cooler, which kind of ties together the first 4 minutes of the show here, right, in terms of Penn State putting him in a place to be at his best for Nationals, despite the fact that he was, hell-bent if he was given a chance to get on the mat at the Big Ten tournament. Not the case, but he claims he's ready to go for Nationals. Yeah. We'll see if there's any lingering effects. They're all claiming there won't be. Time will tell.
Yeah, that's what's cooler is an NCAA tournament, but what's coolest, I imagine, to Carter Starace is both, and probably what he was going for all season long. So
correct.
Letting go of that, understandably frustrated with that really you know, late injury at the final bell, like at the very end of the regular season, to put all of this into motion. But let's get into it. Let's go to 125. Braden Davis feels like a strong contender after the Big Ten tournament. So how does this shape up for the Nittany Lions to get off to a hot start in the NCAAs?
Yeah, pretty interesting. He goes into the Big Ten tournament 2 weeks ago as the number six seed in the conference event. And don't get me wrong, 21-25 is very good in the Big Ten. So being number six there is not as maybe bad as it sounds. But he wins the Big Ten title, and now he's number one at Nationals, which is kind of funny. And this is a weight class we've talked about, T-Frank, where it has bounced around so much this year. Being the number one guy is almost not where you want to be because they seem to endlessly lose and get bumped back down the rankings. And so Braden Davis goes into this tournament, his first national tournament, as the number one seed. He's going to face the winner of a pigtail bout. Either Tristan Luan of Michigan State or Mike Joyce of Brown, and then he could come out and see either Dean Peterson of Rutgers or Patrick McKee of Minnesota. He could see Peterson in the second round, and then, you know, McKee possibly in the quarterfinals if the seeds hold and everything kind of goes as planned. So, you know, I like his draw. I think the fact that, two guys that sort of gave him issues this year, Drake Ayala from Iowa is the three seed. So he is on the other side of the bracket. That does not hurt. Braden Davis's path to the potentially NCAA finals in his first trip to Nationals. So I don't mind his seeding there. Caleb Smith, another guy who we lost to during regular season from Nebraska, also on that bottom side of the bracket. Davis on the top half, of course. So he's going to have to, if the seeds chalk out, he's going to have to deal with Matt Ramos of Purdue, who, you know, again, these 2025 rankings have pinballed so much this year. So there's a lot of talented wrestlers in this field. There's no question about that. To me, I really went back and forth in terms of my prediction, T-Frank. I felt like, and I do feel like, there's every chance that he could win this weight class and become the first Penn State national champion at 125 in quite some time. At the same time, I've watched enough of this 125-pound field to know that you're really playing with fire if you pick the one seed. And so I can't do it. I have him finishing third at the NCAA, his first NCAA championship, which obviously would be a tremendous finish for him. It would make him an All-American and clearly give him a great base to work with as he moves into his second season at Penn State at whatever weight that may be down the road. We have all offseason talked about that stuff. But yeah, I have him finishing third. And again, if he comes out and you're probably sitting there thinking, well, why? You know, if you think he can win, why don't you pick him to win? And it's just a feeling I had that, you know, you look at the way this weight class has worked, and it's messy. It has not been great. And then as terms of who wins it, to me, it probably comes down to Drake Ayala of Iowa or Matt Ramos of Purdue. And I give Drake Ayala the national title this year at 125.
So let's move on to 133. You mentioned that Penn State has 10 players not only in the tournament, but is this right? All 10 are in the top 10 of their respective weight brackets. Aaron Nagao coming in at number 10. That's crazy.
Yes.
What's his prospect?
So you have six top two seeds for Penn State at this tournament. And yes, all 10 are inside the top 10. To be an All-American, you have to be inside the top 8. If you look around the internet, I think if Penn State is not going to have 10 of 10 All-Americans this year, the most people think that Aaron Nagao will be the reason why, that he will not out-wrestle his seed and finish 9th or 10th. Or worse, and end up off the All-American podium. I had a hard time with this bracket, T-Frank, just simply because of the fact that when you look at, in terms of Aaron Nagao specifically, when you look at, you know, what he's going to have to deal with at certain parts of this bracket, it's very hard to see him getting past the two seed, Ryan Crookham, in the quarterfinals. If Nagao even makes it to the quarterfinals, he would need a seeding upset along his way to do that. And then who knows what you end up with in the consolation bracket. The consolation bracket can get very messy. You have upsets. You end up wrestling guys who you thought you might see in the semifinals that are now a consolation quarterfinal, not even a blood round, mental round match. So for me with him, I haven't seen enough this year to feel confident he can beat Crookham. So it's going to send him to the consolation bracket. I do think, though, Aaron Nagao has shown so far over the course of his college career that he can succeed in the consolation bracket. He did just wrestle back and finish third at Big Tens with a pin at Big Ten. So, I look at this, you know, I look at this breakdown. I have him finishing in the sixth, seventh place match, and you know, whether he wins or loses, it doesn't really matter. I have him hitting the All-American stands, but certainly not being in the championship bracket past the quarterfinals, unless you know Crookham either gets upset or shows up and just doesn't wrestle his match, and Nagao wrestles a very good one. But I do have him hitting the All-American stand, but probably the lowest finishing Nittany Lion of the 10 that are going to Nationals.
So next up, we have Bo Bartlett at 141 and a potential rubber match with Jesse Mendez. So what do you see going on in this particular bracket for Penn State at 141?
Yeah, so, you know, there's three guys in this bracket that I think most people would agree can win, you know, can win this this bracket. It's either Bo Bartlett, it's Jesse Mendez of Ohio State, who, as you mentioned, just beat Bartlett at Big Tens, or it's Real Woods from Iowa. I just don't see anybody else you know, being in a position, T-Frank, to take out those guys, unless they take out each other, of course, which is what's going to happen for this tournament to eventually end. So it's a sea toll. Bartlett's going to meet Woods, who we beat already this year in the semifinals. And, you know, obviously, based on what we saw during the dual meet season, I think he's capable of beating him again. Mendez and Bartlett, it's a sea toll, with Mendez being the one seed, Bartlett being the two, Woods being the three. You know, Mendez's path obviously a bit easier on the top side of that bracket to get to the finals. Upsets are always lingering, and we know how that works. But, you know, ultimately, it'll probably end up being a Bartlett-Mendez final, a rubber match for those two after Bartlett won during the dual meet season and after Mendez beat him at Big Tens. And I'll side with the Nittany Lion here and say he wins a close one, probably sudden victory. We've seen these sudden victory matches so far, and he becomes, in my projections, Penn State's first crown national champion this year.
So 149, following that up, freshman Tyler Kasak, some young players, some young wrestlers here, as they have been all season. So what do you see going on with, you know, 149, which I think starts the transition to where Penn State starts to pick up some steam later, but this feels like a very pivotal one to get to some of those goals that you mentioned of historic setting situations if they were able to get this one.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing here is, obviously, as the number seven seed, Tyler Kasak gets the benefit of not being on Ridge Lovett's side of the bracket from Nebraska. Ridge Lovett, of course, has taken him out this season, and you know he's a very good wrestler. The cream of the crop, the expected winner of this weight class, he would be my pick to win it when all is said and done. That's Ridge Lovett from Nebraska, of course. But you know, with Tyler Kasak, the question just is, do you think he can take out Kyle Parko, the number two seed? He's 21-3 on the year, an accomplished wrestler. Do you think he can take him out into quarterfinals, which is what would happen if the seeds hold? I'm leery of saying yes. I am also leery of saying there's no chance. Like, for example, if Kasak was against Ridge Lovett in the quarterfinals, I would say there's just probably no chance. I mean, obviously, beating a guy three times in one season, we can get on that road and debate the merits of that. But I just don't. I have a hard time seeing that being the case. But with Parko, you have a chance to wrestle a guy that, you know, you haven't seen before. Maybe you catch him. Maybe you do some things that you learned against Lovett that don't work against Lovett but work against Kyle Parko. So I do have Kasak exiting the championship bracket here at 149 pounds in the quarterfinals against Kyle Parko, should both get there as expected. And then, you know, again, it's difficult to you know, it's difficult to start projecting these consolation brackets. You can do it, but you just don't know what upsets are coming. I have him finishing as an All-American in the consolation bracket. You know, if he ends up somewhere 4, 5, 6, that wouldn't shock me at all. But somewhere on the All-American podium is my prediction for Tyler Kasak after wrestling back through the consolation bracket following that quarterfinal loss, what we would assume is going to be number two seed in Kyle Parko.
Okay, before we get to 157 and Levi Haynes and this transition to where Penn State can really go on a run, let's recap what you have so far in terms of results. So just take us quickly through 125 onward.
Yeah, so at this point, I have all of the Penn State wrestlers, the first five weight classes as All-Americans. I have Bo Bartlett winning a title and the other three ending up on the All-American stage but falling out of the consolation bracket, the championship bracket, at one point or another. So it'd be a great, you know, if Penn State does that, I think they'd be thrilled, because as you mentioned, once you turn the page to 157, this is where Penn State tends to get rolling.
All right, let's turn the page. 157, Levi Haynes. What are your expectations here?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Levi Haynes is in a position of being able to go into this tournament as the number one seed. So there's some guys that he's wrestled in here before, some guys that he has not. You know, ultimately, I think that when you look at this bracket, there's probably more than three guys that could win it. But I just don't see anyone beating Levi Haynes when he is at his best. And as we saw last year in the NCAA tournament, he was pretty darn close to being at his best, finishing second there the first time he went to nationals as a freshman. Now he's a sophomore. He is a guy that is hunted in this field. He is happy to be hunted, and he will do some hunting of his own and, you know, punch down, so to speak, as a top seed. So, yeah, I have him rolling to a national title here for Penn State at 157. I think last year was a great learning experience for him. And ultimately, you know, I look at obviously some of the guys he'd already beat this year in the weight class from the Big Ten, and some guys he hasn't seen. Really good wrestlers like Ja'Cory Teamer from Arizona State and Meyer Shapiro from Cornell in this weight class, the two and the three seeds that are not going to go quietly away at all. But I refuse to put on record the idea that Levi Haynes is not going to roll through this bracket. So I have him as the champ at 157.
It's crazy the amount of youth that Penn State has in their lineup going to the tournament. And that follows up with redshirt freshman, Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, the number two seed. What do we have here? Do we have another national champion?
I don't think so, no. And this is one of those ones, T-Frank, where you know the feeling, and I'm sure we'll see it in the comments, but this is one of those ones where if you pick Mitchell Messenbrink to win, and, you know, he doesn't, no one, it's like picking Penn State football to beat Ohio State. If you pick them to win, and they don't, nobody really gives you any crap. If you pick them to lose, and then they win, then everyone wants to give you crap. So I feel like that's what I'm walking into here by picking Mitchell Messenbrink to finish second. It's the idea that, you know, if I'm wrong on this, I'm going to not ever live it down. But I just have a really hard time picking against Keegan O'Toole, a tremendously accomplished wrestler from the University of Missouri. And Mitchell Messenbrink's a guy you don't really want to pick against because he can fly high, he can come back, he can score points in bulk, he can wrestle with the best of them, he can score with the best of them. So if he ends up getting to the expected final as the two seed with number one Keegan O'Toole and winning that match, no one's going to be, I think, incredibly surprised. Will it be a little bit of surprise? Yeah, I think that's fair to say. But no one's going to be shocked, in shock and all, that Mitchell Messenbrink somehow completed this tremendous first season with the Nittany Lions by finding a way to upset Keegan O'Toole. But I would like to see it to believe it. So I have him at number two. You know, finishing second place and obviously hitting the All-American stand as well. So we'll see how things play out. Yeah, I know, right? Again, it's one of those things where if that ends up being the case, I won't hear anything about it. But if he somehow upsets him, I'll hear plenty. So it is what it is. We'll find out next week, you know, which side of the coin that falls on.
All right, 174, the wild ride this postseason that's been Carter Starace and the story and the mystery and intrigue around him. It's all going to be answered here starting this weekend. So what do you see happening with Carter Starace?
Yeah, so obviously there's a couple of big talking points here. We talked at the top of the show about the knee situation, and he says he's going to be 100% and he's ready to roll, and I believe him. But, you know, it's one thing to say those things now. It's another thing to say that when you're out on the mat and some guy's, you know, working on your knee pretty good, trying to do this or trying to do that, and then maybe all the healing you did goes away quicker than expected. Or maybe not. I don't know. Yeah. And he's a tough guy. Like Kiel Sanderson said with this. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's also the manifestation part of that, of I'm good, and right. I'm saying I'm good because that's what I'm willing into existence, right. Reality aside. And you know, right. That's, I think, what you're talking about is he can be good to go clinically, like he can wrestle, but who knows what it's actually capable of. And I think that's always the, in these situations, how much of it is not necessarily positive thinking, but like believing the positive.
Right. And this is a guy who wrestled with a broken hand, as Kale Sanderson first pointed out a couple weeks ago when he actually got hurt a few years ago. He wrestled with a broken hand. So pain tolerance is not an issue for Carter Starace. But, you know, again, let's just take the medical side of it off the table, because if you want to sit here and try and predict how, you know, that's going to go, good luck. So I'm just going to work from, in terms of predictions, I'm going to work from the standpoint that he is where he says he is, and there will be no adverse effects from the injury he suffered at the end of the regular season against Edinburgh. And if that is the case, I have a hard time picking anybody else to be a national champion here. Now, he is going to have a very likely quarterfinal matchup with Mekhi Lewis from Virginia Tech, the number one seed. So Carter Strachey is the 9 seed here, which he got knocked down further than I think many expected due to the fact that he forfeited those two matches at Big Tens, which hurt his winning percentage. Which, you know, again, I have a love-hate relationship with this whole thing because I know a lot of Penn State fans did not care for his seeding, but there's also a fact that he didn't wrestle as much as he could have during the regular season. And if he did, you know, that win total column would have been bigger, which means losing two matches via forfeit would have hurt a lot less in the win percentage column. Now, I know there was illness going through the team, you know, all that stuff. I know there's a lot going on for Penn State this year, but I think you have to recognize that reality when having this conversation about his win percentage. At any rate, you know, that could be a tremendous match. Lewis is a very good wrestler. If Strachey, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Mekhi Lewis beats him, but you know, if he does, you can certainly, or you know, Mekhi Lewis, if he beats him, I can certainly see, you know, I could certainly see a path for that to happen based on what's happened in the past. Do I think it's a likely one? No. But assuming Strachey gets by that, I have him going to the finals and joining the very exclusive group that has won 4 NCAA championships. And so that's my prediction for 174. Again, you're making that pick on the assumption on the health side. But if he is ready to roll, I just, even Lewis, who is probably the one guy in this bracket who could make a legitimate case to beat him, I just don't see it this year. Strachey clearly on a mission. He's probably going to face Kate Devos or San Diego State in the finals if the seeds would hold, assuming he upsets Lewis and then upsets some other guys that, you know, would also be ranked below him should he, you know, been healthy at Big Tens. Then he's probably going to face the number 2 seed Kate Devos from San Diego State in the finals, and we'll see how that goes. But I would expect him to be a 4-time NCAA champ by the time things wrap up Saturday night in Kansas City, unless, obviously, the injury and health situation would cause him to fall out of the tournament for one reason or another.
So let's talk then about 184, which I think is the next place where Penn State is not a prohibitive favorite. The last spot on the rundown here. So Bernie Truax, the 6th seed, what do you see happening here at 184?
Yeah, so the interesting thing with Bernie Truax is I made my bold prediction on the show, 2 weeks ago now, at the end of the regular season when we did superlatives, that he would finish higher than he has in either of his past 3 trips to the NCAA championships, where he finished 4th 3 years in a row. So I am not backing down from that based on what I saw at Big Tens. I have him finishing 3rd. At the 2024 NCAA championships, and obviously that would give Penn State yet another All-American. I'm just pulling up my list here to make sure I don't read any names wrong here. But when you look at where Truax falls on this bracket, and I am having one heck of a time finding it at the moment. What I will say while I do that is, I really don't think anyone is going to beat Parker Kuykendall of Northern Iowa for number 1 seed in this bracket. I really don't see anyone beating him. So that's on the other side of the bracket from Truax. But I do think, while I make sure I got this right here, that is going to be your eventual champion at this weight class. But, you know, when you look at where Truax comes out in this bracket, he could face Dustin Plock of Oklahoma State, who obviously is a guy that is extremely talented, the number 3 seed in this field. That would be a likely quarterfinal. And then you have Isaiah Salazar, who just beat Truax at Big Tens, you know, as the number 2 seed and a potential semifinal opponent. So, you know, again, Cale Sanderson sat here for months now and said that, you know, you guys don't got to worry about Bernie Truax. He's going to wrestle his best when it's time for the finals. When it's time for the national tournament. And so, you know, based on what we saw at Big Tens, I can see him rounding into peak form. Can he get by some of these guys that have already beat him this year? That's a question I don't know, and I'm not willing to put a whole lot of weight behind answering yes. But if he does, you know, maybe he does find his way to the finals. I'm not sure. I've been finishing 3rd, falling out of the championship bracket, either in the quarters or in the semis, and then finishing up well in his final college matches to finish 3rd at Penn State and hit the highest spot on the podium he will as a college wrestler.
So we have Aaron Brooks dominated at 184, now 197.
You want to just end the show? Yeah, we can probably wrap things up now.
Yeah. So here we go. Here's I think the fun part for Penn State fans. What do you got here for 197 and then heavyweight with Greg Kirkfleet? We've lumped these two together all year long because it's like, okay, here we go. Like, now they're right. Rolling. So is that what you see once they hit 197?
Yes. So, you know, the biggest thing, I'm crossing out the rest of the bracket here except for number one and number two. North Carolina State's Trent Hidley, a PA native, Mifflin County guy, bumped up to 197 for one more shot at Aaron Brooks because he has yet to beat him. So I think these two are on a collision course. I don't know who's beat either one of them when it comes to the NCAA championships at 179 or 197 rather. I don't know who's beat either one of them. They're going to clash in the finals. Hidley looking to go out with a national title. Brooks looking to join the exclusive club of four-time NCAA champs. And I am not picking against Aaron Brooks. So I have him winning, but that could very well. Yeah, but that could very well be the match of the tournament if it happens like we think it's going to. It could very and easily end up being the match of the tournament. But I have him being an NCAA champ and a four-timer as well. That's Aaron Brooks, of course. And then at 285, Greg Kirkfleet has spent so much time trying to get to the top podium and obviously has had some extremely talented wrestlers in his way, Olympians and things of that nature so far. This is his year. He looks as good as he ever has. He's wrestling, T-Frank, as good as he ever has. And there are some very interesting guys in this bracket. Yonder Bastida from Iowa State is extremely talented. Wyatt Hendrickson from Air Force is fantastic. Both of those guys, look, you can catch somebody at any point in time and pin them or put them in a bad situation. We all know that. I don't see Greg Kirkley. I see him doing the catching, not getting caught. And Wyatt Hendrickson, if he makes it to the finals, is a pinner, so that's not out of the question. But I just refuse to pick against Greg Kirkfleet here. I think his whole college career has basically been training for this tournament, for this moment, and he's not going to let it go to waste. So he closes things out, potentially. You know, usually they go in order at NCAAs, 125 through 285. If we get the Hidley-Brooks matchup as expected, it will not shock me a bit if they go 285 to 197 and make that the final feature bout of the evening. So we'll see. That's obviously way down the road. You can follow along at blueandillustrated.com for the latest on that. But long story short, I have Kirkfleet, whether he opens the final round or ends it, being a national champ for Penn State.
So where it sounds like you have Penn State winning another national title based on all of those results. When in the lineup do you think they secure that with the team points? I guess at what point are guys wrestling for themselves and not as much for the national championship for the team? Because that's been sewn up by the dominance ahead of them.
Right. So, you know, obviously the thing that would come into play at some point would be if and. You're very rarely going to score bonus points in a national final. But if you can, it certainly would help Penn State in the team race as they try and break the scoring record at nationals. But, you know, ultimately, in most years, T-Frank, they have this thing, at least most recent years, they've had this thing wrapped up by somewhere in the middle of Saturday morning's medal round. And honestly, it's all wrapped up except for like formalities. Like they had to step onto the mat. Otherwise, you know, because if you forfeit it, you know, you'd give up 6 points. But if you gave up a technical fall, it would be five. And you would still, you know, even by losing by a technical fall, a Penn State guy just by doing that would knock someone mathematically out of the team race scenario because they didn't get 6 points. Right. So I would guess. I'd be really surprised if this story was not published on Blue White Illustrated that Penn State's won another national title by like noon, 12:30 on Saturday, and it could be earlier than that. Some years it's been close to being done on Friday night. I'm not sure I necessarily see that happening this year. We'll see. But by sometime around lunchtime, early afternoon, I would expect Penn State to have the team title clinched. And then it's a matter of how far they go in terms of the final number of points.
The NCAA tournament coming up this weekend, or it's already here, like we said, depending on when you're listening or watching this. But that doesn't mean that the wrestling show is over. We are going to be doing this year-round when it makes sense and when there's news to talk about. Greg is going to come here on the Blue White Illustrated YouTube channel, of course, at bluewhiteillustrated.com, and provide some context and some updates for Penn State Wrestling even after the national championship for 2024. So, Greg, where can people follow you in the interim between shows. Let people know where to go find Greg Pickle's wrestling content.
Yeah, so we will be at BlueWhaleIllustrated.com throughout the tournament, both on the homepage and in the Wrestling Room forum and the Lion's Den forum, talking about the tournament, all the upsets, all the things that happened between Penn State and the rest of the college wrestling world. And like I said, noon Eastern time will be here on Thursday before we know it. There's a night session again on Thursday night. Friday, there is an afternoon and evening session. The semifinals are Friday night. Saturday morning's the middle round, and Saturday night are the finals. And we will be back here, then I assume, next week, T-Frank, recapping all that.
You got it. And make sure you subscribe to BlueWhiteIllustrated.com if you haven't already to see and hear everything Greg has to say. I'm Thomas Rancar. He's Greg Pickle. We will talk to you about recapping the NCAA tournament coming up next week on the Penn State Wrestling Show from Blue White Illustrated.